This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, good evening, everybody. This isn't the post-match phone-in. Not really, is it? Because we haven't had another match. This is all really about... the appointment of Tom Cleverley. It's been made official. We've been discussing this on the post-match phone-in now, I think, for quite a few weeks, almost since the Birmingham game. I think everybody was quite encouraged by exactly how well that went and what he's done in the interim. And therefore, we've been looking at that and wondering, what does he need? Will he be happy to go back to being an under-18 coach as part of the academy? Or had he done enough? And of course, we all know the record. We all know one win, one defeat, and lots and lots and lots of draws, and a fair few nil-nil results in the way. But the club have decided to make it official earlier on today. There was a spaces earlier on to discuss it. We just thought we'd pop on just briefly, probably till about 9 o'clock-ish, and just have a chat about it, see what we all think, and if anybody wanted to voice any opinions, then have a chat. Justin, sir.
Hello.
Hello, sir. We've been looking at that and obviously tracking it today. Everything's come through. Picture of Tom looking like he's wearing some kind of new training top. I think some people have been looking at that going, is that an indicator of what we're getting from Kelmy next? There's a wonderful thing about somebody's taken it and inserted a snooker cue into Tom's arms already, suggesting that he'll be at the Crucible at some point. I like that very much. But all of that silliness notwithstanding, what are your thoughts on Tom coming in? You were concerned that he might be lost to the club if he got the gig, but what are your thoughts now he is in situ?
Well, now he's in situ, I think it's a strong indication, isn't it? But I think my worry was that if he did actually get relieved of his duties, would he be able to go back to the youth development side of things? I think perhaps now that is not his ambition anymore. I think he's probably now seeing head coach as his pathway. So, look, let's have him at Watford doing it. Let's have him doing it at a club that knows him, that he knows, that he likes, and he gets enjoyment from. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with it, Peter. I think it's a good thing. I just hope and pray that this is the one that finally gets the recruitment that he wants, the backing that he needs, the time that he needs, because we all know how trigger-happy our owners are, and we all know that it could end very suddenly at any point. So there are some question marks over how long his contract is. That hasn't been announced. Normally, the news is he's been given a 3-year contract or whatever. We don't know that. So there's question marks there. But yeah, let's get behind him, because this is going to be as good as it gets, or as good as it's been certainly for the last 4 or 5 years. So yeah, good appointment in my opinion. What do you think? Do you think it's a good appointment?
Well, I think if you look at it, you look at managers who have got us promoted. I'm not saying he has to get us promoted, because he has to be backed in order to do that. And we don't know quite what backing Tom Cleverley will mean, both in the financial position at the moment. We don't know quite what's happening with Udinese yet in terms of that, or exactly what the implications will be from that. So it might not be that promotion is the definition of success for Tom Cleverley. I think that how he would come in and do, he's got to come in and stabilise things ideally. Can he make it through a season? I know Ishmael got almost close at one point to making it through a season. But can he kind of make us competitive in matches in the championship? Because I think that will be the minimum expectation from Gino Pozzo and Scott Duxbury. Can we be competitive? And I think in every single game we have played, including the one that we did obviously lose at the end, I think even the harshest critic would be pushed to say we were not competitive in that game throughout. Were there periods where we played badly? Yes. Have we carried enough of a goal threat? No. Is that all on Cleves? Most certainly not. What he came in and did against Birmingham was he stopped the leaking of ridiculous goals being given away, of us making mistakes in our own half and being punished for it. What he hasn't been able to do yet is find that elixir to get the goals. He is a manager, and I think any manager who's come in, and let's face it, we've got 20 or so to look back on, will look at the Watford squad that they have been equipped with, especially since the cup final, and said it's almost like they've given you a duvet, but it's about three sizes too small. You can bring it up to cover your top, but then your feet are showing. And whoever is trying to do something with this squad, there are always gaps, there are always holes appearing. And I think what we need to determine, and what sounds like with some of the suggested signings, is that we are going young. We are looking at younger players. We are going, relatively speaking, inexpensive, because we're going to have to. Because if we ain't got a pot to piss in, then we've got to cut our cloth accordingly. That was more of a mixed metaphor than anybody deserved to hear. I do apologise. But that's the honest truth. We've been linked today with a lad from Latvia. There is the suggestion of the Colombian central midfield player coming in. We already know and have seen that Mamadou Doumbia has been bought in from Mali. We are looking far and wide. What I hope we are doing in addition to that is looking through the lower end of the domestic market and seeing what else we can do in those areas as well. Because the championship is an unrelenting slog. And for teams or for players to come in and adapt to the country, to the culture, to a completely different footballing culture and experience and language is an awful lot to cope with. And where what we haven't had for a number of years is a spine of a squad that can be relied on to provide that. That's hard to do. You could also talk about experience, the likes of what Jake Livermore gave us this year, but is he going to be kept on? All of these questions are open. If anybody's got any thoughts that they want to give, or any thoughts about what kind of support the Pozzos need to provide Cleves as he's stepping up to the plate. Is he simply an inexpensive option? I think almost certainly. Is he going to be prepared to take it on and roll with whatever he gets? But I think he's also a smart move in that he knows and understands how the club operates. He knows the movers and the shakers at the club and has known them now for in excess of half a decade. So I think it's a clever and intelligent move, and I think it does show that the audition that he's had, there have been many positives. We know that the club look at how things are done at the training ground. We can see that there's been a difference in terms of the application and the way that we have played. It would have been nice had it been topped off with a few more wins, and I think we absolutely hope for one of those on Saturday. But other than that, I think it's good. But we were talking to Sunderland earlier on, and they turned around and said, what is it going to take for Tom Cleverley's reign to be deemed a success? And that's an interesting question. So anybody has ideas on that, you volunteer and let us know. We're going to be here till about for another half an hour, just a quick one in and have a chat about it. And then we'll call it a night and let everybody get on with things. But in the meantime, also today, we released our 500th podcast episode, Justin. So, and it was one where we got Carl, because Carl's now gone off on holiday. As you all know, Carl had an injury only a couple of months ago, and I think he does need to get away and just literally rest up and take stock of everything. And so he's gone off for a couple of weeks. But before he did, we got together and did our normal nonsense and chatted about various things. Justin, in that also was to talk about the big night out. Could you just tell everybody what the big night out is going to be and when it's going to be? And also, as it's going to be taking place on the 3rd of August, whether or not you suspect Tom Cleverley will still be the manager at the time.
Well, yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? Yes. So the big night out is something that we have kicked around for probably 2 years. It's something that we have been asked, are you ever going to do a live event? And we thought, well, what's that going to look like? Is it going to be a live podcast? Is it going to be... I think the idea of a live podcast is a good idea, but I just wonder, because we edit our stuff quite heavily before it goes out, if people actually saw what was involved in us doing a podcast, they'd probably tart in disgust and never listen to it again. So
many have done that already.
Many have already done that. Yeah, yeah. So I think the idea is to actually put on what could be loosely described as a show. So what we're going to do is we're not going to hold it anywhere like the Mad Squirrel or anywhere that's a public venue where people can come in and out and it can be disturbed in any way. I think we're going to do it, well, we are going to do it in a slightly more theatrical setting. So we're doing it at the Pump House in Watford, which is a nice, lovely little community venue, which ashamedly I hadn't been into until a couple of years ago, despite it, you know, having been there forever. It seats 124 people. It's got a nice stage. It's got some very nice facilities in terms of sort of the things that we're hoping to do on the night. Yes, so it's on the 3rd of August at 8 p.m. Tickets will be available soon. We've got to just talk to the Pump House about how that looks. They're going to host the box office. There will be concessions for patrons and OAPs. And it's going to be on a bit of a first-come, first-served basis, really, because, yeah, there is only 124 seats. So that does now put pressure. The reason I think we have done this and announced it, it puts pressure on us to actually do it. So now we've got a date and a venue. We've got to sit down and actually properly think about what we do rather than come up with silly ideas, occasionally send each other a message and then not progress it any further. So we've got the close season to sit and write, and I'm not going to use the word rehearse, work out exactly what it is we're going to do. We've got a few ideas for some other things, other people that will be getting involved, shall we say, see if they're available, see if we can bring out a few surprises, see if we can bring out a few surprise guests. And also we're going to try and do some, either a raffle or an auction or both, because the idea of this event is to raise money for the Pump House. They need, I think it's £750,000 to do some roof repairs and some maintenance to the building. So we've said, look, anything that we earn in ticket sales and prize money and anything else, we're going to donate to you guys for your Raise the Roof fund. So by coming along and supporting this event, not only are you going to get, I hope, an evening's entertainment, but you're also trying to, yeah, I know, yes, yeah, you may scoff, Peter, and you did.
I most certainly can.
But you are also helping to support a local community arts venue that is a really nice little venue. It really is. And we're hoping that if it's a success, it's something we might do a little bit more often. But it is early days. If we fall flat on our face, we may have to think again. So that will all be coming out in the 500th episode, which Peter will be releasing either tonight or tomorrow.
It's out.
Oh, it's out.
I'll put the link up to it after this. Okay. We've been too busy doing other nonsense. But yeah, basically, it's going to be us. He's used all big words like theatre. It's going to be us lot fucking about like royally and having a bit of fun. And also in a theatre where you can take your beer into the seats. Can you imagine that? Imagine a spectator event where you can have your beer in your seats. Just brilliant. I love that. It's going to be good. We're going to possibly be conducting the smallest Mexican wave of all time. These are the kind of things that we need to look for. Right. Let's get Danny in, because we've got Danny, then we've got Rob who want to come in and just let us know what your thoughts and anything at the moment, Tom related, etc. Danny, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all good. I think we've all been slowly realizing that this is a likely thing to happen, but it's do you think the timing of it is good going into the last game of the season in the desperate hope for a first win since November?
Yeah, it really is the perfect time, because it's happened for the season, and at least now the players know, well, everyone connected to Watford knows Tom's the man. He can get the squad he wants, but we've been in this position before, Pete, and we, Rob Edwards and Val last year, all this, the mass clear out we had under Val last year, we was promised change. So I'm not going to get too excited, but I do think it is the near enough perfect appointment for us. Clever, he knows the club inside and out. He was here as a kid. He definitely is well respected by, I think, every Watford fan. So I think if it does go wrong, which it might do, then I don't think Cleverly can't really take any blame, because the end of the day, he's 34 years old, 35 probably next year. So if it does go wrong next year, then we all know who will take the blame, or who have to take the blame.
Yeah, obviously he's got a limited amount of managerial experience. We all know that, but he's been incredibly impressive in what he's done because, let's face it, he has been there. The thing that I like, but I'd be interested to see what everybody else thinks. And as ever, if you want to make any comments rather than coming on speak, then stick it in the just add a note. We'll go through those as well. Was the fact that he turned around and said, well, Watford and Man United are both clubs that I have the ambition or had the ambition to manage. Mm. And you go, yeah, okay. Because it's one thing to say, I want to be here. I always want to be here forever and a day. But the honest truth is that if he could do enough to get himself in the mix for the Man United job, he would have had to have done a phenomenally fucking good job at Watford in order to do that. Or obviously have the constant disaster and then go and take our bitter rivals up to the Premiership. And, you know, now we know that. So in terms of that, what are your realistic thoughts around what support he needs, bearing in mind we know there isn't
I was literally just about to ask you, Pete, do you think he would need someone experienced alongside him, i.e. a Paul Robinson, a Nigel Gibbs, someone like that? First of all, do you think he would want that? Do you think he'd, I know he's got Armand and Damon and Jimmy, but as in next to him coaching, do you think he would want someone like that?
Well, I think if we look back at, and sorry, I'm just stargazing here, but if you look at our good young managers who've come through, and that absolutely includes Graham Taylor, who was 28 years old when he took over at Lincoln. He took them up and then from the fourth division. And then when he came to us, he came down a division to take us. He brought in Bertie Mee, who was the double winning manager of Arsenal in 1971. Of course, this is only actually, 6 years or 7 years after him doing that. And he brought him in as a mentor, as somebody who would help the club, because of course he was building a club, not just a team, but take the club seriously and bring in values and the like. You then had the second manager. We're fortunate enough to be talking to AD Boothroyd this week.
Yeah, Keith Birkinshaw,
Keith Birkinshaw. And we're going to really want to find out a lot about that, because I think he's one of those people who kind of flies under the radar quite exactly how he did it. But of course, we saw AD back at the club on Saturday as well. Here's somebody who's been steeped in coaching, having got injured in his late 20s. He's gone all the way through the very thing. Could he be somebody?
It really would be a good option. Yeah.
So we're going to be asking him, amongst other questions, obviously, what would Adrian Boothroyd now tell AD Boothroyd in 2005? What kind of mentor would you be, and what kind of things would you advise? And I think that the key thing out of that is, because he will have had experiences, good and bad, but he will have learnt from both in the intervening period as to what to do and maybe what not to do, and how to work with people and how not to work with people. And it's, I think that's key and pivotal. You mentioned Joel Gibbs there, who's got a mountain of first team experience, a lot of it alongside Neil Clement, I remember, but also with Brian McDermott at Reading and at Leeds. So I would love to see somebody coming in who is of genuine Watford legend stature. So the Robbos of this world, who's obviously currently at Birmingham with Gary Rowett covering for Tony Mowbray. Somebody of that ilk would be great, but I'd like to see an even more experienced mentor. Yeah.
So you're saying you would like it, but do you think Cleverley needs it?
I think Cleverley has to be the one to ask for it or to want it. And it has to be the person that Cleverley brings in. Because let's be honest, we know enough about the football club to say that it's hard enough when you're having to take on the opposition. When the opposition is also potentially in the boardroom, then you need to have somebody to help you box clever. They have to help you become perhaps a diplomat, but at times also somebody who isn't a diplomat and stands up for themselves. Don't forget, Valerian Ismail and Rob Edwards both came out and said such things as, no, I'm really happy with the squad I have. I'm really content. And shortly after, they weren't here anymore and the squad weren't really pulling up trees for them. So I think there are times when you have to stand up and put your name on the line, but we've got somebody in charge who we know is not afraid to pull the trigger. So it has to be done with a deft touch. It has to be done with a level of delicacy. Now, I'm sure people will come on and say, well, he shouldn't have to. You've got Gino Pozzo in the middle of the club and he is the one who's at fault. Not disagreeing, but I'm saying, what is the reality that Tom Cleverley will have to be working with in the interim period? We do also know that you know, that same person who goes through managers like a dose of salt does occasionally bring in a half-decent player. Now, we need that recruitment element to work its absolute magic, and it has to do it well with a view to, yes, and I know people don't like it, yes to player trade, but there's no point just player trading. It needs to be enough to be able to put people like, for example, let's have a look at Yasser Asprilla. Would Yasser Asprilla be worth more if the team he was playing with had a stronger spine, had a better capability?
100%. You
know, exactly. He needs to make sure that the rest of the squad is a canvas that these other guys who are going to come in from South America or wherever they're coming in from, that they can paint on, that they can paint with, and they can work with. And I think that's where he's fallen down. So it'll be interesting to see. And obviously, currently it's speculation, but I think it is refreshing to have somebody in the club who does know the pit traps within, the insight within. We were very fortunate to get to chat with, obviously, Troy and with AD Mariappa and Lloyd Doyle. And it, what comes out from those, and especially from Troy, is understanding what's going on and what you've got to do to survive in that environment, or thrive in that environment, I should really say. And I, hopefully he knows how to do that. And it also means that there is a pressure, shall we say, on the management. You've done it now 20 times. And this time, or nearly this time last year, they just sat there and said, look, everything is in place. This club has got everything you would want in terms of stability, apart from the manager. You've got the manager. You've got somebody with stability. Mm-hmm. He's not perfect. He is not the finished article. He has to go and build. You've got to be one patient, and you have to support him fundamentally, because the question can't be, is it the squad's not good enough, or is it the Tom's not good enough? They've got to do everything they can to support him, in my view. So it'll be interesting to see who they see as a mentor kind of character, whether or not it's a Keith Birkinshaw or a Bertie Mee kind of type. Other mentors are available.
You're spot on, Pete. You can go through the squad. The players have improved since Chloe's come in. Deli Bashiru, Koyembe. I think Ravage has improved since Cleverly come in. Mm. I mean, you can go through the team. Ryan Porteous, been brilliant.
Yeah.
Dan Backman's not the biggest fan, but he has been superb. I've got to say, he has been superb. The last few games, I wasn't at the game on Saturday, but Backman was outrageous, really was. So if he can improve those kind of players, and it's clear the players are playing for him, we were just a little bit unlucky recently. Who knows what can happen next season? But again, I'm gonna hold fire on the being over the moon and stuff, because we know how these clubs run. So a few bad results and it could all change so quickly. So
good stuff, good stuff. Danny, I'm going to move on because we've got plenty of people sitting there waiting. But hopefully, if anybody's down on Saturday, let's get to the Sunderland game and get in, and hopefully get into the bunker if they can get to. It would be nice if we could drink outside. That would be good, wouldn't it? Wonderful stuff. Danny, mate, love to Becky and everybody there. Lovely stuff. Let's get to Rob. Rob is waiting. Let me add him in. There you go. Fat thumbs. And we'll just kind of keep it relatively brief, guys, because we only want to be here for a little bit. Just run it over rather than be here till midnight, etc. But Rob, sir, how are you doing? What are your thoughts? Permanent, good, bad, indifferent? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Definitely, I don't think bringing another outsider and have to rebuild everything again is just another summer, isn't it? And then it's like, if it doesn't work, then we've seen that so many times. But I think with the support, I think it actually needs to be hands off from Pozzo. Just give him the budget and then just bugger off somewhere and stop interfering. It'd be great, you know what I mean? I think that'd probably be better. Let's leave it like that. But I think that Watford is a football club. I've moved on so much since the likes of Paul Robinson was there. I just don't think it's realistic that they'd bring him back, to be honest. I just don't see it, I've got to be honest with you.
Well, there isn't necessarily a connection to the hierarchy with Robbo, other than obviously he came in and did the Hive Live and he's known as a top fella. But of course, he's also connected. A lot of coaches will follow a manager around, and he's obviously well connected to Rowett, who is currently at Birmingham. We'll see how that finishes off. But there's... sometimes you look for players who've played with each other, like Ian Wone with Sean Dyche, for example. They were both together at Forest, and therefore they're joined at the hip and they're trusted lieutenants. But that mentor thing is sometimes different. Who knows? They might just go, no, you've got Gianluca Nani, who had a coaching career before he went into that side. I remember he was manager at Brescia, of pretty good renown, actually. And they might consider that that's the case. But I think if you're going to go with somebody who's a Watford legend, bringing somebody else on the back of it further helps try to bring people in, but most importantly, or bring the kind of the fans on board. More importantly than bringing the fans on board, though, he's being successful. What has he got to be given to turn all of this myriad of draws into wins next season, do you think?
We need some strikers, and we need to not limit it to one or two strikers. We have to have a decent collection of three or four strikers that we can rotate if necessary, rather than relying on one or two to try and get us goals. I would like him to try, and this has gone off topic a little bit, but now he's got the job and he's not auditioning anymore, just play some of the youth on Saturday and on their way game against Middlesbrough.
Rob, everybody, look at that. There's the first round of applause for you. Danny, I do apologise. You could have got a round of applause, but frankly, Rob called it, absolutely. He's turned around and said he doesn't want to give any charity debuts, and I think that's a beautiful word to be using, because if he does elect now to play somebody, they come away going, I must have earned it, and I think that's absolutely right and proper. I would love to see young players getting given an opportunity, even if it's 5 minutes at the end or what have you, and they don't have to be charity. They have to have absolutely earned it, because what you want to see is that route, that pathway through to the first team, so that when you are then talking to the next players that you're trying to bring in, you can go, look, they've come through, they've done it. They've come through, they've done it. Otherwise, you get people who come through and like somebody like Adrian Blake will go, well, no, I'm going to go off and play my football in Utrecht because they're going to give me more money and they're going to give me first team football now because I'm not getting it here. I think it is a pivotal thing to see. Absolutely. But you're positive. Yep.
I'm positive, definitely. I was just thinking, actually, this came into my mind when you were saying that. I was listening to you. Somebody could bring back in as an advisor in an advisory role, probably a bit too old to be coaching now in his normal coaching position, but Alec Chamberlain could be someone. Perhaps
and other Watford legends are available. I like that, Rob. Lovely stuff.
He's worked with him as well. So he was there when he was at Watford the first time round. Just one last thing before I go, actually. Racing Club Warwick are in the playoff final against, I think, Alan Lathwell's non-league team on Saturday in Warwick.
Harborough?
Who was it? Just Stone something that he was watching?
The other day, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is...
So that's Saturday in Warwick, so I'll be there for that.
Well, I want a reporter phoning on the spaces. Let us know how this goes, because as everybody knows, we wander all over the fucking place, let alone staying on actually the championship. Quite often we end up in non-league. Lovely stuff there, Rob. Lovely stuff, lovely stuff. Let's get to Rich and see what Rich thinks, because I think Rich has been very positive about Tom, but I think there's been a couple of things where you've gone, hang on, I'm not sure about that bit. Rich, what do you think? He's permanent now. I think he's saying lots of lovely diplomatic things that people might want to hear.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts overall?
Very pleased. Yeah, really pleased. As I said, like a few weeks ago, I think there's just something, I can't put my finger on it. There's just something about him that I think he's going to be a top coach. And I'm glad it's with us and going to be with anybody else. Because as I said, again, I believe he would have been a manager for somebody next season if it wasn't us. And I think for once, either Duxbury, Pozzo or somebody's got in their ears and said, look, you can't let this guy get away. The games he's had to play at the end of, bearing in mind we're at the end of the season, we're a mid-table team, we were safe pretty much, but we've not been on the beach and we played some really tough teams and we've not looked out of place in any of the games. And that's remarkable credit. I don't think we should underestimate just how hard that would be. And we needed those points. And there's no question about it. Would Ishmael have got enough points to have kept us up the way this league has panned out at the end? I don't know. I think it'd have been really squeaky bum time, but fair credit to him. And I'm really pleased. And as I say, it's the first internal appointment under the Pozzo reign, from what I understand. And yeah, okay, there's a couple of red flags, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. What he said about Backman being the best shot stopper in the league is hugely debatable. He had a good game Saturday, and I think everybody's getting a little bit excited about that. And I'm not going to get too down on that. And to say that he indicated our strikers were okay, I think we all know that's not the case. But anyway, that's not important at this stage. He knows the club, everything about him, he seems to be class, and there's just something steely about him, and then I just can't shake the feeling that we've got something a little bit special here, and let's hope we're all feeling that way. And I think what you've been saying about a mentor and things like that is absolutely crucial. For me, it's going to be interesting to see what Jimmy Gilligan does.
Yeah.
Because I think he's been a key part of it. And there's an interesting tweet I've seen tonight. And now we can all go a bit off off piste here a little bit.
This if anybody, trust me, we're rarely on piste. So going off piste, it's mother's milk to us. You carry on.
Yeah. So this is a tweet tonight from somebody, and I'll let you try and guess who it is. It's not that hard, but it says, excuse me, "I'd like to send my sincere congratulations to Tom Cleverley on his appointment as the permanent head coach of Watford, and I wish him all the very best for this great appointment. I enjoyed working with Tom at Leicester City Football Club and Watford, and I really hope this works out for him."
Is this the man with the enormous forearms? Is this the one and only, the wonderful big Nigel Pearson?
Yeah, interesting one, eh? And could you see Nigel Pearson as a mentor to Tom? Would he be allowed anywhere near the club again?
Well,
stranger things have happened, haven't they?
If by the size of your forearms are you judged to your football capability, the man is very capable. That's all I'm saying.
In all seriousness, and I know it's probably nonsense, but he was very well liked at the club. But for COVID, who knows what he could have achieved with us. And Nigel Pearson has always been a shrewd manager. He had Craig Shakespeare with him for a long time.
Yeah.
And they were two proper football people. Now, Tom Cleverley could possibly do a lot worse and have someone like Nigel Pearson helping him. And Nigel Pearson isn't going to be wanting to be out there anymore. I think he's had his health issues. Yeah, I don't think he's not going to be on the training ground every 5 minutes. But for somebody to have maybe sitting up there, more the Bertie Mee, Graham Taylor, rather than the maybe Nigel Gibbs, Tom Cleverley, because yeah, Gibbsy would be out on the training ground. That's just another one. It's just a name thrown in there. I've got nothing to say about that other than it was interesting that he's gone very quickly and wished him well, which I thought was a great spot. And but who knows what will happen there. But I think it's a good day for Watford. I really do.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Well, sir, I hope to see you. Hopefully we can all get back down the bunker again. That would be nice. There's Rich, very positive, realising that he is saying some things. But, of course, the question will be about somebody like Tom. And Andrew French has come out with a couple of great articles, a fantastic article about the FA and the whole replay stuff, which I fully endorse. But he's also come out and talked about Tom prior to his appointment, but being very conversant with social media. And also he is very media savvy. And I think some of the comments and the points that he makes, he's not just talking to us. He's also talking and managing indirectly to those players who are also very social media conscious, very aware of their own image and comments made about them. And so sometimes he may be making a comment for their benefit rather than ours. Just perhaps just something to think about and consider.
Hi, this is Jan Mulby, and you're listening to it. Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let's get to Florida, because Uncle Ron is there, and I want to ask Uncle Ron a couple of things after we've got his initial thoughts, because I think this mentor piece is a really interesting thing, and I would love to ask you, Ron, about your memories of Bertie Mee, but also of that Keith Birkinshaw role, because I think there are some interesting similes, and I'm not trying to set him up for anything. But we bought in Graham Taylor when he was 32 and he had a mentor. We bought in A.D. Boothroyd as, again, a very young manager in his 30s and he had a mentor. And, of course, we are bringing Tom Cleverley in. Somebody else might be there. So there we go. Anyway, Ron, you come and let us know what you're thinking if the Sprogs allow you to do unmolested. Uncle Ron.
Good afternoon, Peter, or good evening.
Either or. Depending. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's fine.
Well, I'm not very happy, Peter. They've done it again, as they did with extending Ishmael after 10 games. They've appointed Cleverley with one win in seven and no home win as of yet.
And one defeat in seven, though, obviously.
Well, okay. But and I've alluded to it. I can't remember if he actually said it. But yeah, we know Cleverley came out this week in praising Backman, I believe, as the best goalkeeper in the division. I was disgusted to hear that, as you can imagine.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
I'm not particularly happy. But I think Pozzo and Duxbury, as awful as they are, exceedingly clever. And they've hoodwinked people again. They've appointed Cleverley, who for some reason is popular among Watford fans. And they've taken the heat off them again. People are optimistic. And that's it. I think it's a little ruse. It keeps the heat off them. Fans will not really want to turn on Cleverley should it not start so well. But that's it. That's the club we support.
So, as I mentioned earlier on, obviously, I did say that just before you came on, but I appreciate you're a busy man with many children to chase on occasions.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
So it was the fact that Cleverley is probably the first, probably the first, I could be completely wrong, but definitely a manager who appreciates and understands what he says, how it goes in social media, how it permeates and how players receive and hear things. And therefore, him talking to the press and coming out and saying something about Backman may be actually to do with the fact that he's got two goalkeeper choices. And what he doesn't want to do is come out and castigate his own goalkeeper in the press, ploughing his confidence into the earth. That would make absolutely zero sense as a coach. And as somebody who was a coach, I would never do that openly. So I think it's unreasonable to expect him to come out and echo your own thoughts. It's far more likely that he's going to come out and say something that would bring his head up rather than forcibly put it down. I think to think anything else, frankly, is a little bit naive. But I think, and I get your point, is the fact that you do not want to go Backman route long term. We've got that. You've articulated that now over a series of months, and you've put it across beautifully. Let's get back to Tom, though, and your thought about this has been cleverly woven to try to bring people on side. Could we not say that about any judgment that they have made that was actually seemingly popular with supporters, that they're just doing it for that? Because they have made a number of decisions where we've gone, the Georgian League? Where's who? What's his name? Cisco what? They've made a whole host of left field appointments that we haven't had. But I want to get back to, and I especially want to get back to, because you mentioned, you know, Keith Birkinshaw. We're talking about somebody who is coming in, and as I say, coming in at a similar age to that Graham Taylor came in at, although obviously he had 4 years at Lincoln where he started, he would have given his right arm to have got the results that Tom got in his first eight games. I can tell you that much now. But they bought in Bertie Mee to help, and they also bought in Keith Birkinshaw. What are your thoughts about a young manager, a young coach? I remember you previously saying you wanted somebody who was not tainted with the foul stench of failure, I think. Words to that effect. He isn't tainted with any of that, but the one thing he absolutely does lack is experience. Is there anybody, or is there any kind of style or somebody who you think might be a good mentor, a good Keith Birkinshaw, a good kind of Bertie Mee equivalent? And what are your memories of Keith Birkinshaw and what he did for AD Boothroyd, a manager and a season that you remember fondly?
Well, that season was brilliant, as I've mentioned it before. And hold on a minute. Birkinshaw, God, here we go.
There's one thing I love. It's the fact that no matter what Ron says, he's paying for it in Florida in childcare. I like this.
Yes, there's a new Spidey coming in a minute, a brand new one.
He likes Spider-Man.
Very quickly. I will forgive this appointment if AD Boothroyd comes back as mentor.
Oh, wow. You'd like the man himself.
Yes, very much.
Well, we're speaking to him tomorrow. I don't know if we can ask.
Could you ask him if that's why he was at the stadium last weekend?
We certainly shall. We're not backward in coming forward. We shall ask that question. Why not indeed? I think we want to find out a little bit more about these mentors and what they do and how they do things. We've heard a big Nige being called. That's a great call. That'd be an interesting one. Is there anybody else that other than AD Boothroyd, or is that the one alone which you are prepared to forgive this move for?
That's the only one.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we've got to the root of it. There is Uncle Ron. Do not scratch your eyes. Head of childcare. I like that very much indeed. Wonderful stuff. Right. Well, there goes Ron. I like that. We found out what it takes to forgive appointing Tom Cleverley. That's good. Let's go to Geordie. Then we're going to come to Wendover. Then we'll wind it up, if that's okay with you guys, because we want to get round everybody, just have an initial thought. Obviously, lots of people have been talking about stuff already, but we thought, let's just come on and have a quick thought about it. Geordie, sir, how you doing, mate?
Hey, you are, mate. Can you hear me?
Yeah, long time no speak. Hope you well.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a while.
Good, good. Tom, what do you think? What do you think?
I'm a big fan of Tom. Nice. Always have been. I don't think he's been the levels that a lot of Watford fans say he has been since he came in. He's been okay. He's been adequate. He's not been awful. He's not been brilliant. He's got one win in seven, but he's got one loss in seven. So he's been mid. I'm happy with the appointment, though. I like Tom. I like what he can do. There's something about him that I really like. But I want to talk about this backroom staff that you keep bringing up.
Yeah, far away.
All right, so there is one name that no one other than me has mentioned. That's probably because I'm a nutter. I don't he's quite inexperienced.
Okay.
I don't necessarily want him as an assistant, but I would like to see him involved in the club. He's not a Watford legend, but he did make one appearance for us in a 4-1 loss to Stoke. Do you know who I'm talking about?
What, one appearance, 4-1 loss to Stoke? No, you've got me. Who is it?
The third.
You're ducking in and out. Geordie, could you tell us again?
It was a third choice goalkeeper.
Third choice goalkeeper. Rob Elliott.
Yeah, Rob Elliott. He is currently the manager of Gateshead in the National League. He got them to the playoffs, which were they were expelled from, which is a disgrace. But we don't need to get into that. He's 37 years old. Don't necessarily want him as assistant manager. He's not that experienced person you talk about, but I definitely want him somewhere in the club. Academy coach, maybe assistant manager, I don't really know. Just doing something, because he has shown at Gateshead where he's completely turned them around. I don't know if anyone follows the National League, but he's been absolutely unbelievable for them as their caretaker manager.
Wow.
Just get him involved in the club. It's too good an opportunity to pass up.
Wow, what a call, what a call. To my knowledge, I believe, and I could be completely wrong here, I believe he blotted his copybook with behaviour at the club. I don't know the full details, but I think that was the case. If it weren't, and if we've got somebody who, one, could cover the goalkeeper coaching / actually becoming more than that in the background, there you go. An absolutely out of left field suggestion from Geordie. Geordie, I'm going to let you go simply because basically your mic is sounding dreadful, so we can unfortunately barely get you in, which is a sadness to me. But there we go. Rob Elliott, go and have a look at Gateshead. Yes, I had seen that they'd been thrown out because I believe it was the council wouldn't confirm that they would be allowed to stay in their current stadium for 10 years. And a lot of people came out and said, well, Newcastle could go and buy it, give them that, and then just play their reserve team games there. But of course, no, that never happened. So that's unfortunate. But Rob Elliott, nice one out of left field. Let's get across to Wendover and see what his thoughts are around Tom. I would imagine they're fairly positive, probably. But there we go and see. Wendover, sir. Wendover, originally from Chesham, as we discovered on Saturday. What are your thoughts on Mr. Tom Cleverley?
Yeah, I can remember where I live today.
The amount of people who've turned around and said, that was quite an impressive effort trying to actually hit the penalty spot on Mr. Kidd. You are dining off of that until the end of preseason.
You know, I might, you know, offer my services to the Tom, you know.
Greg Fomenta, this is the way to go. When I'm Fomenta, you may be fermenting, I don't know. You know. There we go. What do you think?
What am I thinking about this? I'm thinking, fantastic, man. At least fantastic. Somebody that knows the club and knows Gino. So they're both going in with their eyes wide open. Tom's been for a few contract renegotiations with Gino. And one negotiation was when he was on Premier League money and he took an extra year and obviously reduced his salary. They know each other. They've looked into each other's eyes. And they know each other. Of course, there was an agent involved, you would imagine, but they know each other. And I think that is a real plus going into this. Massive real plus. He knows the club. He's got Watford in his heart. He's made more appearances for Watford than anybody else in his illustrious career. I think this is fantastic. I think I do get criticised for being positive. But I think there are good things coming out of the club at the moment. We've got this guy coming over from Mali. We've had another one announced today, holding midfield player Colombian. Mm-hmm. There's strong links of another young kid that's a goal machine. Sorry, Pete, I put it in our WhatsApp group earlier on. I forgot his name.
His name is Latvian, and his name is Glebs Patika.
But
the thing I thought was interesting there was because he is at, I believe, Paphos FC, yeah, which is in, and he's been quote unquote ripping up the Cypriot under 19 league, which is, of course, the bar by which all things are judged. But Paphos is where Cristiano Giretta has gone. Yeah. So whether or not there's, one would presume there is still some friendly discussions there. I saw that Richard Johnson did a talk to their kind of development teams about the academies and all sorts of stuff there. And they are a club trying to go somewhere, genuinely, which as a Cypriot football club is an interesting concept, because I'm not sure how far you can go before falling into the sea in Cyprus, but there we are. But yeah, no, it's if we are bringing in a young players and going in that direction, at least it's a strategy to try to get behind. I appreciate the points that Ron made just there earlier on and said, well, no, I think it's a kind of, it's a clever one. It's an appeasing kind. Hold on. All opinions are welcome here. You know that. Otherwise, we'll start talking about sofas and I'll get very humpy. And that's a fair comment and a fair point to think about. But there is also the other side, which is we do have, and this is why we've been banging on about this mentoring thing, we do have success with young managers. GT, you could also say Jokanović had not been, it was not exactly old when we had him there.
You could say Brendan Rodgers as well, Pete. I know we don't like him, but you could say Brendan Rodgers as well, Pete.
You can even say Cisco Munoz in terms of him doing a short-term job to come in. If you look at our promotions, they were younger managers. Ken Furphy wasn't exactly elderly when he took us into the second tier for the first time in the 60s. All I'm saying is one of the things that's been said is about we saw Ranieri and we saw Hodgson misfire terribly. We've got a manager in who knows what and how the modern player can pick that. And I think we've seen that in terms of a reaction. In terms of obviously you're seeing the positive elements happening, it's a coin. There's going to be good sides and there's going to be bad sides. We all know that. That's fine. What do you want in the mentor for Tom, or are you happy with Jimmy Gilligan sitting there? Because let's face it, he has got an awful lot of experience and an awful lot of credibility in the coaching community, albeit that he has really made his name, shall we say, in the development side, in the youth of with the FA and Forest, for example.
I don't think Jimmy would want it. Just from something I've heard, that I don't think he would want it. Cool. I think development is his area. I think he's done a cracking job going in to assist Tom. But long term, I personally don't think he would want it. I mentioned a mentor many weeks ago on Spaces. Ooh, and hit you with three names.
You hit me with three names from the halfway line with one single shot.
Yeah, three names that came to my mind were Mike Phelan.
Yes,
who would have worked with Tom a lot at Manchester United.
Yeah.
He might take somebody from the Manchester United stable, a name that we're not aware of, but there's one idea. One that won't be liked by many because of a remark he made many years ago, but Malky Mackay.
Yep.
Malky was the manager that first brought Tom over on his initial loan when he did so well as a very young boy. Malky understands behind-the-scenes position. He had a very senior position with the Scottish FA.
Yeah, he did.
And I wonder whether if people can forget one comment that he made, potentially. I don't know. I've said the name Malky to a few other people, and apparently Malky isn't that liked within football and within what. I don't know whether that is true or not. But then again, Rich stole my thunder. I think Nigel Pearson would be absolutely ideal at the stage of his career with his health, when being on the grass every day probably wouldn't be for him. I think he's a tremendous guy. I think he's got a tremendous knowledge of the Championship. I think he was well liked at Watford. And one thing I have heard from within was if it wasn't for COVID, he would have they thought he would have kept it up, and he fitted in so well at the club. But something during COVID changed him. I think he had COVID badly. I think he had it twice.
He did, yeah.
I think he's now on the mend, and I think that would be an absolutely ideal role for him, and he would be my first choice.
What are we as supporters, or what can we as supporters do to assist Tom?
Get behind him. And I'm not going to tell supporters what to do because I've been criticised
I'm asking your opinion. I'm not asking you to tell other supporters to do it.
Pete, as I said on Spaces the other day, there's a clue within the word. We are supporters. We should support him.
Well, that is obviously paraphrasing the great Graham Taylor, who, as you say, said exactly that. He also said, if you can't support us when we're 3-0 down, please don't support us when we're 3-0 up. It was a requirement that we are all in this together. And I think that is an element that I think, and I appreciate people will hear what Tom has said about Dan Backman and Mileta Rajovic, et cetera, potentially, and go, I don't agree with that. It might not be for your consumption is my thoughts for it. It may well be for to try to make sure that he's keeping their head up all the way. But in terms of that, yeah, no.
One of my favourite Graham Taylor sayings.
Ooh, go on, favourite one.
I can ask no more if players give their all. And I have seen in every game Tom has managed, the players giving their all. Now, they might not have had the ability at times, but I think in every game Tom has managed, the players have given their all. And you cannot have said that for many Watford teams over the recent years, under the head coaches that they have had.
Agreed.
And these guys have given their all for Tom. I think it looks positive. I think we're bringing in some Colombians and Marley. I think sprinkled with a couple of signings from the Football League, maybe lower down, Jims. So I think you need some Brits in that squad. Tom Ince out, Lewis out, maybe Livermore out, maybe Hamer out. You need some British players that now added in the summer, and let's look lower down in the Football League, because I don't think you should have too many of your African talents and African prospects. Is all well and good, but I think you need some Football League players in there as well, in their 20-somethings.
I described it in the grandiose up my own arse fashion that only I can manage on a regular basis, of it's that we have to have a canvas that those, as you say, African or South American or starlets from wherever they are garnered from around the world, that they can paint on. And as we said, do we think that Asprilla would be a better player if he were playing with a somewhat better combined squad than he currently has? And the answer is always yes. We need to give them, if you're going to play a trade, you need to make sure that if you're providing them a shop window, you need to make sure that the shop window works to show off their best. And I don't think we've done that in the last few seasons. Let's just hope, let's just wish him well. I think that's probably the number one thing. And of course, if he's in Stuck, he can always call for you to come on and basically take the goal kicks, because we know you can really reach the halfway line. Well, almost. There you go. There's Wendover. That's lovely stuff. Let's finish with Rio Wolf. And then just we can all say sayonara, good evening for the night. Rio, so how are you doing?
Hi guys, how are you?
We're good. We're all right.
Hello.
We've gone and got ourselves a young manager, Watford legend. Do you like everything about that, or is there anything that you're not sure about?
Yeah, I'm happy with Clev's appointment. I feel depends what the expectations are for next season, I would say.
Yeah.
Personally, it should be top 10.
You think that should be so? Okay, so you're thinking that should be what the ambition. What your Gino Pozzo? We're making Rio Gino Pozzo, by the way, everybody. This is as uncomfortable for Gino as it is for Rio as it is for us. What happens then if we're heading towards, I don't know, 10 games to go and we are in 11th or 12th? Would you then stick or twist because that's the aim? Or is it a soft target to go for? What other things are you looking for in order to keep Tom in play and see him develop? Because, of course, not all managers get everything right in their first year. Our greatest manager didn't in the first year, but he grew into it. So is there an element of it? Should there be more of an element of patience and forgiveness for Tom in an initial year?
Yeah, there should be patience. I'd say top 10, 12 would be a very good job, but like... Nice. as long as it, the expectations are on the floor, but as long as it isn't, I don't know, the season, we're 15th, so like, it hasn't been a good season, but as long as it doesn't get worse, I wouldn't say he's done a bad job. Obviously, he's only like 8 months into coaching. I'd say he should be given patience. And if he does do badly, doing badly in the Watford job doesn't really harm anyone's reputation at the moment. It's a common thing. Yeah, no, I think if he does badly, the blame will be on the, I don't know about the players. People have given up with that, but on the owners.
I don't think people have given up on the players in terms of turning around and saying, well, you should put it in. I think the difference has been in the last games, we've seen them put it in. That's the fundamental difference to me. There has been not just effort, there has been discretionary effort. There's been a preparedness to try to win that ball. There's been a determination. Even Jamal Lewis was putting in crosses last week. That's the world was going to stop rotating on its axis at one point because of that.
Yeah, no, unlike last season, I was going to say, players haven't really, last season, the players we had were Saar, Pedro, you had Dennis for a couple of games. Loser on form for when he did play, he could be one of the best players in the league. Chowdhury's established, Davis has done it before. We had a really good set of players who should have got automatics, if not playoffs at least. So the expectations were very high, whereas I wouldn't say this season's been a free hit, but people haven't really had an expectation going into this season. And I think our team is underestimated. People are like, yeah, well, we are where... Oh, 2-0 Everton. We are where we should be.
I love that's a score check from everybody. Rio did that really subtly. That's 2-0 Everton. Carry on, sorry.
Some people are like, we are where we should be. I disagree. I'd say our team is... Don't know if it's on par with Hull and Coventry, but like I'd say it's a top 12... It's a 12th to 10th kind of team. I think we should be around that. Hoops. Very good player. You've got Kiembe's been good, Dele Bashiru, Chapadat. Andrews will get a move soon. He hasn't been great this season, but we've got quite a few decent players. Obviously, you've got Esprit. But yeah, I don't know. I feel we've underachieved this season. If it wasn't for one great patch of form from November to December, we're only 8 points above now. It would be a lot closer.
Yeah, I know. And in fairness to talking about Tom and therefore projecting forward, there was only so much he could do in the games that he had. And we must always remember how hard the run of games he was coming into. And it meant his first competitive first team football match really was it wasn't a must win, but it was most certainly a must not lose. And he managed to make enough of moving us forward quicker, less playing around at the back. And let's be honest, we got fortunate. But because he was pressing the goalkeeper, he thought we might get something. So he's done enough, hasn't he? And clearly he's done enough in the eyes of the club to get appointed.
I don't think we've been outplayed in any of the games so far. Our two worst performances were, I'd probably say, Preston, and I don't think we were good at all against Birmingham, but you got the 3 points, which was the most important thing. And obviously, I feel we'd probably be unbeaten if it wasn't for late goal we conceded at Southampton, which was unfortunate, but went toe-to-toe with Ipswich. I feel could have won that game. We were good defensively, but when it came to the final third, we just lacked a bit of quality. And if we had the quality, I think we could have nicked that 1-0 lead. So we were brilliant first half, brilliant. And West Brom were brilliant second half. So I feel we've done well. Obviously, he's got the same players as Ismael did, so nothing major is going to improve. But I think he's improved certain players' performance. I've always rated Tom Dele-Bashiru, but he's been great under him. And Phil Porteous has also got better as well. We look better at defending, and it's just hopefully he can get his players in and we'll start seeing like progressive signs like turning into goals and results, because we could have won. We could have beaten Hull with if that Martin scored that chance. So if we have better quality, instead of one win and seven, it could be 3 or 4.
Very true. Very true. It's a game of fine margins. Rio, lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, as ever, for your thoughts. Lovely stuff. Right. Okay. Well, look, we're gonna call it to a close. But earlier on in the week, Justin, or back in the next last week, whenever it was, put out a little poll asking about what was everybody's favourite season of the last four seasons. And the obvious one was the one where we all went up in, what was it, 2021, something like that. But this year, or last year, got literally 1%. And whoever liked that, my Lord, that was an odd call. But this year got about 26%. It was the second win. And I think that's because the players that we've had have, most of the time, other than those dart runs under Ishmael, have tried to put it in. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that. We had a periods earlier on in the season where people were saying, I'm enjoying this more. I'm feeling more of a connection, which had previously gone. We've now got a manager who has a genuine bona fide connection to the club. Now, some will, and very possibly with very good reason, say that's a cunning move by the ownership to curry favour with the fans. Well, frankly, I don't give two monkeys about that personally. If you're going to make the decision that I approve of because you're doing it for the other, for maybe sinister reasons, if that's the case, fine, you're still making the decision. The important thing is what happens now. It has to be the support of the manager, because we're all somewhere between incredibly positive or incredibly negative. And many people are on that continuum somewhere in between. And we'll move from one end to another, depending on what has gone on in the most recent games. And you'll judge that, and that's fine. Wherever you are on that continuum, you are able to come here and say whatever you wish and what your position is and what your thoughts are. That's a really useful thing. However, in order to make sure people are moving more towards the positive, now more than ever, Potsos and Scott Duxbury and all of those guys in charge have to try and support a player who is in very good standing, or a manager now, in very good standing with the supporters. People aren't going to be happy if after 10 games he gets the same treatment as Rob Edwards. And I mean it, a lot of people who are feeling things very positively want to see very much this manager supported. And support doesn't just mean going out and blurting money. It means boxing clever. It means us seeing activity going on. Two seasons ago, people were saying, well, why aren't we making any activity? Well, we've seen Mamadou do. We're talking about the gentleman, Glebs Pitaku, who I mentioned earlier on. We've seen, I think his name's Cordoba, the suggestion of the Colombian central defensive midfield player, I believe he is, coming in. We'll have a little look and have more about it. That could be a positive way of boxing clever, of working smartly. Let's hope it is. We're not going to know. The proof isn't going to be there until we get into part of the way next season. But let's hope that the club do everything they can to support somebody who's offered the club good service and for which most manager or most supporters have got nothing but in. And of course, don't forget, club Watford, if you want the eternal forgiveness for appointing Tom Cleverley from Uncle Ron, you just have to make A.D. Boothroyd his mentor, apparently. There you go. That's the one thing he'll forgive. Look, guys, thank you ever so much for dialing in. We just wanted to jump in, do something shorter than our kind of post-match nonsense, etc., and just see where everybody is. But I would suggest that the barometer is very much in the positive towards the manager and towards the decision, but there is always going to be a certain level of skepticism as to how much support this club will offer him. Tom knows where, not where the bodies are buried, but he knows the modus operandi around the club better than anybody. He knows how things will be done, and he knows the personalities involved. He is in a better position to navigate this particular club and the way it operates than anybody who is coming in from the outside. We all think that he probably needs some assistance in plugging that experience gap, and we'll see where that is. We've mentioned lots of Watford, well, anywhere between legends and stalwarts, I think, today. And we'll see what happens. Oh, there we go. We will see where we are. We take on Sunderland on Saturday. In the meantime, our 500th episode is out. Thank you so much for everybody who contributes via this sort of thing, which will now be podcast 501. And we'll stick it up tomorrow for anybody who's not here to listen to, should you wish to. But have a listen to that. Do please look out for the big night out coming in August, the week before the start of the season. We thought we'd do something stupid. And rather than show what total idiots we are from the start of the season, we thought we'd bring that forward a week and show you a week early. It's all going to be in aid of the Pump House Theatre. It's a community theatre and community centre here in Watford. And it's something that everybody can get behind. Lots of hopefully exciting, fun, and particularly stupid stuff coming on there. But in the meantime, guys, please have a good night. It is a school night. Go and see whether or not Liverpool blow their chances. You horns.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.